Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? I'm going to read something to you out of the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and also Hebrews chapter 9. These are portions of scriptures that you know well. And we all know about the blood of Jesus. How many of you know there's still power in the blood? Oh, but did you know that there's so many things to know about the blood of Jesus? The Word of God is infinite. And who is the living Word, by the way? Jesus, the precious Son of God. He is so infinite and divine. Praise God. Our finite natural minds cannot contain all there is to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are to seek more and more of Him. Amen. Praise God. Are you there with me in Hebrews chapter 2? Say amen if you are.
Amen.
We're going to start reading in verse 9, and then we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 21 and 22. Hebrews 2 and 9, but we see Jesus. Can somebody shout Jesus?
Jesus!
Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Ooh, church, that ought to make you want to shout right there. Jesus wants to be one with you. Did y'all hear that?
Yes.
He said, if any man abide in me and I abide in him, ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Praise God. You know why He came and took your place? So that He might live inside of you and that you might be found in Him.
Amen.
Wow. For which cause He is not ashamed. I'm going to change that word just for a moment. Instead of saying them, I'm going to say you. Because He is talking about you. For which cause He is not ashamed to call you brethren. Are y'all hearing this? Jesus thinks you're His brother. He thinks you're His sister. Hallelujah. He says He's not ashamed to call you brothers and sisters, the children of God, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. What a precious Lord we have. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. You know, the one who comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus has power over him. And if Jesus is in you, that ought to give you power over him.
Amen. Yes, amen.
For greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. He didn't become an angel because guess what, church? We're not angels. He took upon Him the form of man. He took upon Him flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Why? So He could take your place in my place. So He could be a kinsman redeemer. So that when you have aches and pains, you can cry out to the one who felt aches and pains. Hallelujah. When you are tempted, you can cry out to the one who was in all points tempted like as you are, yet without sin. And He showed you that you can be tempted and be without sin.
Amen.
See, too many, even in the church, too many have gotten to the place where they say, I got tempted, I couldn't help it, the devil made me do it.
No.
Devil don't make you do anything.
No.
You choose what you're going to do. Are you hearing me? Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Woo! Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now turn with me to chapter 9, verse 21 and 22. I want to pull this last part, a portion out of that chapter there. Verse 21 and 22, it's in that last part of chapter 9. I want to pull that out to put with this. Praise God, to give you another view of the blood of Jesus. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Aren't you glad Jesus shed his blood?
Amen.
So that your sins might be remitted.
Amen.
There's only one thing that remits sins, that's the blood of Jesus. There's only one thing that saves the soul of man, it is the blood of Jesus. Are you hearing me, church?
Amen.
Oh, Pastor, you're saying we ought not get baptized? No, you ought to go onward and upward in Jesus and get baptized. But if you think baptism saves your soul, you're wrong.
Amen.
Oh, I believe we ought to speak in tongues. I believe we ought to. I believe, hallelujah, this spake he of the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive. Some say you're not saved unless you spoke with tongues and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost does not save you. The blood of Jesus is what saves you and remits your sins and brings you back in relationship with God.
Amen.
Holy Ghost is a comforter.
Amen.
Holy Ghost leads and guides you into all truth. Baptism is a picture of a burial where you're buried with Christ so you can be risen with Him in newness of life. Hallelujah. You ought to do all of those things. Praise God. But it's the blood of Jesus that's going to give you the power over sin. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
I said it's the blood of Jesus that you need to have in all corners of your life. Praise God. There's too many. There are too many who experience the beautiful, wonderful, lovely baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they never go back to the blood to get cleansed for sin in their life. So what do you end up having? Sometimes you end up having a tongue-talking Pentecostal who's out living in sin. Are you hearing me, church?
Amen.
See, some Pentecostals don't want to hear that. Well, I went to church last Sunday and I felt the move of the Spirit and I spoke in tongues. Well, praise God. But did you go down to the blood? Did you go down to the fountain and wash your soul clean and cleanse it again with the precious blood of Jesus?
Well, no.
Well, you need to.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Are you thankful for Jesus? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious and holy and righteous word. Thank you, Lord, that it is forever settled in heaven. Oh God, I pray that the seeds of truth that are found in your word today, oh God, would settle down in the good ground of the hearts of your people today. Oh Lord, that it might spring forth into life. Oh, and bring forth some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And we give you the praise and the glory for all things. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone shout amen.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated. I want to preach to you for a little while this morning about the four corners of forgiveness blood. Amen. And the four corners of forgiveness blood. And you might be saying, now, Pastor, what do you mean the four corners? I don't know if you remember that the four square truth, hallelujah, is found all throughout the Old Testament. I preached to you a couple of weeks ago about the four corners of our mind. Do you remember that? Well, I want you to also recognize that there's four corners in your earthly tabernacle. Hallelujah. That all the tabernacle and all the things, the instruments and the ministry of God that is in your life, it needs to be anointed and covered and sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. And not just a one-time thing, church. We ought to go back to the fountain and wash again in that glorious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, God has called me on to do something. I've heard so many people say, Jesus has called me in to do something. Ministry in my life. Well, then you better find behind the fountain of the blood of the Lamb and get back there regularly. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And fire. Praise God. Oh, for the Comforter of the Spirit of God. Oh, that leads us and guides us into all truth. I wish every Christian was speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Paul said, I would that all of you speak with tongues. Praise God. He said, but I'd rather that you prophesied truth than that you would speak in tongues. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, praise God, tongues we must have in the last day church. Why? Because it was in the first day church. Oh, but praise God. I want to get back to now this corner of forgiveness blood. There's four corners that we need to make sure the blood of Jesus gets applied in those four corners of our life. You know, as we go through and read, especially in Hebrews, where he talks about the blood of our precious Savior and how that he became a heavenly high priest. He's merciful and that he's faithful as a high priest pertaining to things of God in our life. Church, many times we hear about that mercy and grace, and it seems to be mentioned together. It's because they go together. I don't believe you can find one without the other in the scriptures. Mercy is defined as holding back what we deserve, and grace is defined as offering to us what we did not deserve. And in the Old Testament ordinances of sacrifices, which Brother Paul in the book of Hebrews, he begins to bring out that Old Testament sacrifice and the atonement of the blood of bulls and goats and the sprinkling of the ashes of an heifer, how if that could cause them to have their sin pushed back for a year. Oh, he says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, hallelujah, as a spotless Lamb of God, how much more is that able to redeem you unto God and cause you to become kings and priests unto God? So are you grateful for the blood of Jesus? Praise God. Church didn't involve killing some animal this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Church didn't involve killing some animal this morning and having that animal be our scapegoat to take our place. Jesus came on the cross of Calvary, hallelujah, and became our precious high priest. With his own blood that was shed, he covered our sin, praise God. But in the Old Testament ordinances of sacrifice for atonement, we see a picture of Jesus Christ being our Savior, being our scapegoat, taking the sin and the suffering and the death of what we deserved, and with his mercy gave us a way out. Hallelujah. Can somebody say praise the Lord? And I believe that he, in his pain and his suffering of death, he paid what we deserve to be having. And in his mercy, he did that so he could open the door of grace and make available to us what we could never deserve. The blood of bulls and goats, as the high priest would take that offering, that blood offering from those animals, the blood of the bulls and goats was placed upon the four corners or the four horns of the altar. And I'm kind of amused in some ways when I read through some of these Bible commentaries, Brother Johnny, and they try to tell me that the four horns of the altar represented the power and the might of God. And I say, now wait a minute, God's power does not need the blood of Jesus applied to it. Hallelujah. How many of you know that God does not need the blood of his dear Son? Oh, but we as the created beings who are fallen, we need the power of the blood applied to us. Amen. Hallelujah. It is not the power of God on those horns until the blood of the Lamb of God gets on those horns of our lives. Are you hearing me, church? Oh, you don't have the power of God. You don't understand the power of God. You can't experience the power of God until the blood of Jesus is on the four corners of your life. And so those four horns, those four corners, is what we perceive as power and strength in our life. And it's those things that need to be covered with the blood of Jesus. It's the four corners of our earthly tabernacle and soul that needs to be covered, that needs to have the blood of Jesus applied, hallelujah, on this earthly vessel, so that every part of our life will be surrendered to Christ Jesus. Ooh, if you surrender to him this morning, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the blood of Jesus has the power. That's why we sing there's power in the blood. Yeah. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you be free from your passion and your pride? There's power in the blood. Hallelujah. Would you be free, have victory over evil and victory win? There's power in the blood. Praise God. So if you're blood bought this morning, listen to me, church. If you're blood bought, your blood washed, your blood redeemed, and the blood has been applied to your soul and your life. How many times do you have Christians? I've heard so many of them say, well, I'm blood bought, I'm blood washed, I'm blood redeemed. Why is it? I do not seem to have the ability to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. Are we not meant to be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. And then why is it that you walk a while in the blessedness of the blood, but then something comes along and knocks you for a loop and you're right back where you started? Or in some cases they'll say, Pastor, I find myself getting back into a loop. I go back to the old things that I once was victorious over. I find myself worse off than when I first began. Oh, I'll tell you why. And I told everyone that ever asked me that question, I tell them why. It's because there's some part or portion of a corner of your life that you've not surrendered to Jesus Christ. You haven't let the blood of the Lamb cover you in the four corners of your earthly tabernacle. And the blood of the Lamb has got to flow in every part and portion of your life if you want to be victorious. You can't hold on to sin and hold on to Jesus. You can't hold on to the world and hold on to Jesus. You got to love one and hate the other. You got to let one go and cleave to the other. Hallelujah. You can't serve two masters. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If we don't allow Jesus to apply His precious blood as our heavenly high priest upon the four corners of our lives, are you hearing me, church? Then we're not going to be a victorious, overcoming believer. Are you hearing me? Ephesians 1:7, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Can somebody say hallelujah? Oh, praise God. So I might be telling you some things you may have never heard before, but I'm going to give you scripture to back up what I'm telling you. Church, that we've got to have that overcoming power of the blood of Jesus and every four corner of our earthly temple and tabernacle. Amen. Oh, that Old Testament tabernacle was not only a picture of the heavenlies, but it is a picture of our temple. And you're either going to have a tower of Babel built unto man, or you're going to have a temple. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost in your life and in your body? And you're going to present yourself as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Who can somebody shout hallelujah? And so if you and I will go to the Hebrew, how many, oh, I just love this. I can go to the Hebrew, and in English, Brother Cliff, I see forgiveness. But if I go to the Hebrew, it says, well, now there's four forgiveness bloods. Which one are you talking about? Woo, hallelujah. Did you know that each one of those forgiveness bloods is for each on the corner? Same blood, but has power to do different things in the different areas of our life. Are you hearing me, church? Oh, praise God. Did you know that some believers come to the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. And they get that precious blood. The first blood in the Hebrew is called kafar blood. Kafar blood means God's mercy blood, God's reconciliation blood. Hallelujah. When we come to Jesus weary, worn, and sad, and He washes away our sins, He applies it not because we deserve it. He's applying it because we need it, and because we realize we needed it, and because we've come and asked for His mercy. And when we ask for His mercy, He freely gives it and forgives us and reconciles us back into relationship with God. And that is given by gift. Church, are you hearing me this morning? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can you hear me, church? Hallelujah. But listen to me now, and we'll make sure you catch this part. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about growing in grace and moving onward in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise God, Brother Johnny, that first corner that we come to and get covered in the blood, it is by gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the other three corners of your life, you'll have to give those up by choice and have your high priest cover those corners of your life. Come on. Woo! Can somebody shout hallelujah? Yes,
hallelujah?
What do you mean, brother? I thought when I got saved, I got saved. Yeah, you did. Praise God. But there's areas of your life you still need to surrender. Woo! Can somebody say, I know? Can somebody say, that's right? Hallelujah. You know what? How do you know that? Because when you first come to Jesus, all your battles aren't over, are they? Hallelujah. No, you've got some fighting now to get involved in. You've got some dressing up to do. You've got to put off the garments of darkness. You've got to put off the works of the flesh and begin to put on the garments of light. Hallelujah. You've got to make your way through God's dressing room and get off those garments of darkness and the works of darkness and begin to put on the armor of the Christian found in Ephesians chapter 6. You've got to get that helmet of salvation. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Too many believers have walked into the dressing room, got the helmet on, turned around, walked back out, and they're still clothed in works of darkness. They need to get back into God's dressing room with their helmet of salvation and praise God for the blood that reconciled them unto God and opened up the closet called grace that we might put on some glorious garments of light. Will somebody shout hallelujah?
Yes, hallelujah.
Come on now.
Yes.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Y'all are getting sleepy on me.
Yes.
Ooh, glory. Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, but listen to me, church. The next three corners are going to have to be surrendered by choice. Oh, hallelujah. As we take those corners to Jesus Christ as our heavenly high priest, so that he might apply his blood to those other corners, so that we might be made free. Hallelujah. How many know many, 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 too many Christians will quote this verse wrong? I'll always do it for fun. I'll start it. I'll say, do you know that verse? And you shall know the truth. And I'm telling you, 99% of Christians answer this way. Oh yeah, and it shall make you free. Or it shall set you free. Amen. I said, no. What do you mean, no? That's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ooh, somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you glad there's truth in your life today making you free? Ooh, glory. With his blood on the first corner, he set you free from the chains of sin and darkness. Oh, but make is a process. Make is the beginning of a work in your life. Hallelujah. The more truth you get, the more truth will make you free. And the more you try by choice, give your life up to Jesus Christ, is the more by gift. He's going to give you some freedom and liberty in the Holy Ghost. Ooh, somebody shout.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, brother.
Glory to God. And as His blood is applied to the other corners in our life, so that we might be made free, we begin to walk in the riches of His grace, accessing daily. Ooh, Brother Mark, what we don't deserve. Ooh, hallelujah. And if you ever begin to feel like you deserve it, you're beginning to miss out. If you ever begin to feel like you deserve it, you're beginning to miss out. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, that first corner must be covered or you're not saved. Amen. That's by gift, not by choice. That first corner's got to get covered or you're not saved. When you come to Jesus weary, worn, and sad, praise God, you must come to Him and have the blood of Jesus on that first reconciliation corner of your soul. Ooh, hallelujah. So that you might be reconciled to God, so that He can begin to do His marvelous work in your life. Hallelujah. Saving you unto the uttermost. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. How many of you can look back on your life and you can see where Jesus has brought you from? And when you first came to Jesus, weary, worn, and sad, aren't you glad? Woo, praise God. Sister, my sister, I call her sister, because she's my sister and she's my sister. Amen. Oh, sister, aren't you glad? When we first came to Jesus, he didn't have a whole long list. Aren't you getting it? When you say, oh, I can't do it. And we would have faded out right there.
Amen.
Turn around and walk out.
Oh, what a wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. Sometimes people say, Pastor, you don't have a to-do list for people who come in and get saved? I say, no, there is a to-do list. It's called the Word of God. Hallelujah. I don't want you to do what I think you ought to do. I want you to do what Jesus tells you to do. In His Word. I'm going to preach to you the Word. And if you ignore the Word by the Spirit, you're going to grieve the Spirit. You won't be long, the Spirit won't do its work in you anymore. Oh, but listen, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to preach the Word of God to you. That's who you need to follow, not me. I can't make a list of rules and regulations other than the basic obvious ones that are in the Scripture. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You can't be living in sin. Praise God. Oh, listen, you shouldn't be living in sin. Hallelujah. But did you know I want these pews full of sinners?
Yes.
Y'all hearing me?
Yes.
But if you're going to be part of the work or the ministry of God, you're going to be up on the platform, you're going to play the drums, you're going to play the whatever, you better have your life right with God because you're in the ministry of the Lord. Are you hearing me? You're not doing something that man cooked up. You're part of something God has birthed by His blood out of His own side. And you better treat it with respect. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Are you thankful? And when you came to Jesus, where he wanted sat in that first corner, hallelujah, he began to pour his blood and got you reconciliation blood, got you reconciled with God. You know why he's got to do that first? Because, listen, the carnal mind is at enmity with God. It is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. He got to cover your mind with His blood in that first corner so that you begin to understand spiritual things and begin to desire spiritual things and you begin to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. But then after a while you say, I want some sincere meat. I want some sincere depth and goodness of the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah, I taste it on His mercy. Now I want to walk in the depths of His grace. I want to go through this dressing room and change my clothes. Somebody say hallelujah. Too many churches focus on getting women changed to look holy on the outside. Woo-hoo. And you know what? God looks on the heart, not on the outward appearance of a man. Now I think you got Jesus on the inside, He'll show on the outside. You're going to try to be modest. You're going to try to cover yourself. And you're not going to present yourself in an ungodly or unholy way. Hallelujah. But to say that one way is better or not as good than the other. You know what? Man, get out of my face. Hallelujah. I choose to obey God than to obey men. Hallelujah. God said He looks on the heart. Hallelujah. He said, don't let that outward adorning be what is the outward appearance. Let it be the inward adorning of the Spirit of God. Woo! Because if you got that and the blood of Jesus is done washed over your mind, you're going to think differently. You're going to act differently. You're going to walk differently. You're going to talk differently. How are you going to present your body a living sacrifice unto God? Holy and acceptable unto God. I told you about the lady I saw in the store one day. Saw her across the whole store, man. And big as you could see, Elaine. It said, Jesus. And I said, oh, praise God. Somebody got a Jesus shirt on. I got closer. And the closer I got, the closer I got to read the rest of it. It said, I love Jesus, but I still cuss a little. You don't love Jesus then. First of all, you wouldn't be trying to drag the name of Jesus in with cursing. Second of all, if you truly loved Him, you'd try to obey His commandments. Oh, hallelujah. Church, sometimes the church world gets upside down, inside out, and backwards. And they're more interested in what the world thinks about them than they are what Jesus thinks about them. Church, I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you like I told my kids. You're stupid. Started years ago. I ain't stopping now. I love you, but I love Jesus more. Amen. Are you hearing me? Amen. Church, I love you. I love each and every one of you with a love that only God could give me. But I'm here to tell you, I'm going to teach you the truth. I'm going to preach to you the truth because I love Jesus more than I love you. And someday I'm going to stand before Him and give an account for everything I said to you, everything I've preached to you. And if it wasn't in the Word of God, I'm in trouble. Do you think He's going to take that lightly? No. Listen, there's so many with seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they teach churches what? Lies! For what? For profit and for gain. Why? Because they're wanting to build an earthly kingdom, and we don't need an earthly kingdom. We're going to a city whose builder and maker is God! Hallelujah. For you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's a process. And you must have the blood of Jesus to begin the process in your life. Hallelujah. There is no other way. There's no other name. There's no other blood. It's Jesus and His precious blood that will save your soul and get you on your journey to an eternal life. Are you hearing me this morning? Hallelujah. That second corner, the one that we must begin to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ so that He might apply His blood as the high priest. Hallelujah. Who in the heavenly places makes intercession for you and mine. You know what He's interceding? Hallelujah. You know what the Lord showed me as I began to see these principles come out to life in the Word? Do you know what He showed me? Is that many times what He has to intercede with us and for us about is about those other three corners where we've not let Him apply His blood. As the priest, He's interceding to do His job in your life. As His priest, as the priest of God, He's begging you, as it were, beseeching you with His gentle voice to please let Him do His work as the high priest in your life. And you'll be so glad if you let Him.
Amen.
Church, there's many who've got the one corner of their life with the blood of Jesus. They've got the helmet of salvation. And they say, I'm marching on to heaven. In the meantime, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to act like I want. I'm going to live like I want. I'm going to take that talent of salvation and I'm going to bury it in my heart. You slothful and wicked servant. You'll stand before Jesus someday and you know what He'll tell you? He said, I'm going to take from you even that which you have. Well, Lord, I don't have nothing but a helmet. I'm going to take from you even that which you have and give it to Him who has. Hallelujah. You know what? He's got, how many of you know He's got a plan for each one of you?
Amen.
And if you don't walk in the joys of the salvation that Jesus has given you, did you know there's coming a day somebody else is going to get to experience that joy?
Yes, sir.
If you don't walk in the victory of the salvation that Jesus has given you, did you know somebody else someday will take that victory and walk in it if you won't? Are you hearing me, church?
Amen.
We've got so great a salvation. So rich. And so free.
Yes.
You better hold on to it. You better let Jesus apply His blood to every corner of your earthly tabernacle.
Yes.
So that you might be kings and priests unto God. For Him. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, would you lift your hands and just give Him praise? Come on, praise Him for His blood. Glory to God. Thank You for the precious blood, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, the second corner. The first corner that you and I must by choice surrender to the Lord so that He might cover that in His blood. The second corner is Nassau blood. Remember, we're going to Hebrews and we're seeing one word in English, which is forgiveness. But it relates to four types of blood that is found in the Old Testament tabernacle. This Nassau blood is the lift and carry blood. Woo, somebody say hallelujah. Oh, the load of sin was more than I could bear. He took it all away. He took it all away. And now on Him I cast my every care. He took my sins away. You know why you can sing that? because you've experienced the lift and carry blood, the load of sin, the load of guilt, the load of shame, put into the stream of blood that flows, the river that springs up into everlasting life. And everyone in Jesus Christ, how many of you know you got a river this morning? He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Do you know why he said rivers, plural, water, singular? Because there's only one water. But there's many rivers. You got your river, Brother Mark. I got my river. Sister Cindy, you got your river. Brother Johnny, you got your river. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That living water is filled with the blood of Jesus. And as he begins to pour that blood on this lift and carry corner of your life, the shame and the guilt gets then washed away. Hallelujah. At first, Brother Johnny, it's only ankle deep. And then it gets knee deep. And then it's thigh deep. And then it's waters enough to swim in. And so I don't care how big your sin is. I don't care how ugly your sin was. Hallelujah. I carry farther and farther in the blood of Jesus. It becomes less and less visible. I'm coming to see no more. It sinks to the bottom of God's mercy river, which becomes God's mercy ocean. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, because rivers flow into the ocean. And in the ocean of God's forgiving blood, woo, how many sins are covered there?
Hallelujah, to be remembered against you no more. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Unsearchable. Everyone in Christ Jesus, you have a river that goes out into that ocean, which is the unsearchable depths of God's love. And the river of the blood of Jesus Christ flows into that sea of God's forgiveness. And so we cannot hang on to sin or the things of this world. We cannot put it under the blood and then try to hold on to it. When you give it to Jesus Christ, you got to let His blood cover it and carry it away. Are you hearing me, church? There's too many Christians in that second corner of their life. Oh, hallelujah, they're saved, but they want to hold on to things in their life. They want to hold on to things in this world. They want to hold on to the things that they know is going to drag them down into the pits of hell. Oh, why is it that some believers, instead of going onward and upward in Jesus, they begin to fall downward and backward into their old ways? Because the blood has not covered their carry-away corner.
Yes, amen.
Because if His blood has carried it away, it won't be there for you to hold on to, now will it? Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory. Now, have you ever been into a little stream? Maybe get your feet down in there, and you feel a little ripple going over your toes? It's flowing. But then have you ever been like in a rapids? Where you get out and man, you're just barely knee deep. And you feel like, Brother Farron, if I take one more step, it's going to wash me down river.
Yeah.
And I'm calling for good because I can't swim anyway. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got this crazy fear of water. I don't know. I think I got it from my mama when I was little. She was scared of water. My dad used to try to tease her. He'd run up by the end of the lake and he'd like he's riding into the lake and she would go, ah! And I'd go, Daddy, stop! You're scaring Mama. What I was really saying is, Daddy, stop! You're scaring me. Yeah. Well, let me lay it on somebody else. Y'all understand me, don't you? Listen, this lift up and carry away blood. Hallelujah. You know another problem? Some believers, and you'll see it in their lives, because if you don't let Jesus lift and carry away your problems, you're going to be trying to lift and carry away somebody else's problems.
Amen.
And you know what? Then you try to be the Redeemer. And guess what? You're no Redeemer. You don't have that power. Praise God that Jesus has taken and washed away, lifted up the load, and carried away my sins. And you know what that helps me to know? Church, it ought to help each one of us to realize this. I can't take away anybody's sins. I can't lift the load of sin. All I can do is take them to the fountain. All I can do is take them to the source and let them find that freedom that I once had.
Amen.
See? Ooh, praise God. Church, too many believers. You can tell the blood of Jesus is not on that corner. The lift and carry blood has not been applied to that corner of their life because they're trying to lift and carry everybody else's blood.
That's right.
You do that for so long, you're going to burn yourself out, you're going to burn yourself up, and then you're going to be bitter at God because He didn't do something you thought He should have done.
Amen.
You want to know why folks in ministry sometimes get burned out? Because the blood of Jesus hasn't covered that lift and carry load corner. And if it doesn't cover your lift and carry load corner, you're going to try to carry everybody else's load. You're going to think you're the Redeemer. Oh, I would never think such. Yes, you will. If that's not covered with the blood of Jesus, your mind will go all kinds of crazy places. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Why do you think there's so many believers who are living today who have so many issues in their life, not only with those around them, but in their own life, and you see so many things that is revealed, that is coming out of their life, and you say, like, what? Well, things that you know ought not be. Suddenly they express themselves with a weird, another piercing all over their body. Or they express themselves with another big, colorful tattoo. And they think that's going to be the answer. I'm here to tell you, church, something's wrong there. That's a red flag waving. Jesus doesn't say, come on up closer and higher to me. And while you're doing it, get yourself looking more like the world.
Amen.
No, there's a corner of their life, that lift and carry corner, where they haven't surrendered it to the blood of the Lamb. And they need to give it over to Jesus.
They need to surrender so that lift and carry blood, hallelujah, will take it into, oh, praise God, into that sea of God's forgiveness and totally cover it. Praise God. You see, there was blood that was sprinkled on the mercy seat. Watch this, church. Here's what happens when we get blood on the four corners of our lives. When the blood was sprinkled on the four corners of the mercy seat, God looked down at the mercy seat. Inside of that Ark of the Covenant, there were the tablets of the law. And when He looked through the blood, He could see the Word.
Whew. Hallelujah. We're a living, walking, breathing Ark of the Covenant. Are you hearing me, church?
Yes.
Is Jesus in you?
Yes.
Is Jesus in you?
Amen.
Is He the Word?
Yes.
The Father wants to look down through the blood of His dear Son and see Jesus in you.
Yes. Amen.
Why? Because that blood is the key. It's the blood of mercy that is the key that unlocks the door of God's grace.
Amen.
So that we can obtain those things that we do not deserve.
Amen.
Glory. Church, I hope you're understanding this morning. I hope you're seeing this beautiful picture of the blood of Jesus and that how we can't get too much of the blood of the precious Lamb of God.
You see, as He looked through the blood to see the Word, the blood of bulls and goats, the blood of the lesser, it could only cover their sins for a year. But the precious blood of Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, the blood of the better, the blood of the better, made as man in the likeness in the image of man, yet He knew no sin, and He became sin for us. The precious blood has the power to open the door of God's mercy seat so that we might obtain mercy when we need it. How many of you here know you need mercy?
Amen.
Well, I've already found mercy. No, how many of you know today, right now, you need God's mercy?
Amen.
Merciful God. What a merciful God. Hallelujah. It has the power to open the door of God's mercy seat. And who is the door?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Church, can this get any more plainer? Who's the door? And who now has the keys of death and hell?
Jesus.
You see, keys open doors that were once shut. Hallelujah. With the keys of His mercy, He opens the doors to grace. Doors to the depths of His Word. Doors to things that He has promised in His Word for you. And you ought not give up to the devil just because you're too proud or arrogant or stiff-necked to allow Jesus to cover your corner with His blood.
Amen.
Woohoo.
I know sometimes we say hallelujah. And other times we say, amen. And other times we say, oh me. Well, hallelujah. You see, keys will shut doors and lock them that were once open. And keys will also, praise God, close doors and lock them so we can't get back in there again. And then also, praise God, I told you grace is what's behind the door of that entrance. And as you begin to walk in God's grace, brought to you by the blood of His mercy and forgiveness, then you can grow in grace, hallelujah. And it doesn't just mean that because you're saved, you've learned to walk in the grace. Are you hearing me, church? There are many who are saved who have not learned to walk in the grace of God. If you're going to walk in the grace of God, you're going to walk in the load of Jesus and not in the load of guilt and shame. Too many believers want to talk about the sin of their life past. You know what? You haven't been to Jesus for Him to cover that corner of load and carry blood. You know what? When we come together to talk to each other, let it not be about the sins of our past.
Amen.
Growing up, there's many people I know, Brother Farron understands me when I say this. Growing up, man, we used to feel kind of awkward. Because sometimes the pulpits were filled with people who wanted to tell you how deep, dark, and ugly in sin they got. I don't want to hear about how deep, dark, and ugly somebody got in sin. All he has to do is tell me how much the saving power of Jesus lifted him up. I don't want to hear about where you've been. I want to hear about where Jesus is taking you.
That's right. Amen.
You know where He's taking you from. But Brother Farron, we grew up thinking, wow, what are we going to do, man? We ain't got no testimony. Everybody that ever preached wanted to get up, and the next guy had to get up and do works. So my goodness, by the time the service was over, the last guy was telling you, he was, wow, goodness gracious, what in the world? How is it possible for somebody to be like that and be saved?
Amen.
Does that feel faith? No, church is not teaching people to get through the load and the carry blood corner so that Jesus can cover it and wash it in the sea of His forgiveness. And cover it where it's not even visible to me. You know what? The Christian wants to tell me all the time about how much of a crazy individual they were, and it's not in context. You're living way too much in your past.
Amen.
You need to have that corner covered. Let the blood, the load-carrying, covering blood of Jesus take that sin and wash it all away. Ooh, somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I get tickled sometimes. People I used to work with. One guy come to me one time, he says, "Preacher, I guess you ain't never sinned." I said, "Wow. Wow, Sister Carol, I was impressed." I said, "Wow. Really?" He said, "Well, yeah, and if you did sin, probably one of the big ones, there's probably them little bitty ones. You know, the little bitty ones don't count anyway." And I said, "Now let me ask you a question, sir. What in the world have I ever said to you that made you think I never dealt with sin in my life?" He said, "Well, because you never ever say anything about sin in your life. You're always talking about Jesus, how great He is, how wonderful He is, how much He saved you, how glorious it's going to be when we get to heaven. But you never, never, never talk about it." I said, "So just because I never talk about it means I never dealt with it?" I said, "That's because I was trying to put your faith in Christ Jesus, who is eternal, not in me, who is full of fault."
Amen.
Why would I want to tell you about all my faults? Then you're going to look at me and say, "Well, if Jesus can't clean you up, He certainly can't clean me up." Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes folks get crazy ideas, and a lot of them we put in their heads. "Well, my goodness, you was a drug addict? Well, praise God, I am too. I drank way too much Dr. Pepper." Whatever the case might be. "Oh, you was, uh, you abuse of drugs. And they won't talk about all of them. I was on heroin. I was strung out on marijuana. I was this and that and the other. And I was taking it morning, night, and noon. And man, I was so dipsy, tipsy, pipsy. I was walking upside down, if that's possible. I think I was. There's even somebody with a video of me walking down Main Street on my head. And so what are you telling the drug addict? You know what you're telling the drug addict?
See, God can save me, and I was in a pretty bad situation. You keep going on with what you're doing, have fun while you can have fun, and someday when you get serious, God will save you too.
Oh, man.
Maybe.
Do you understand what I'm saying, church? Sometimes we get it backwards.
Yes.
We're supposed to talk about the saving power of God.
Yes.
And when they start telling you what kind of garbage and situation their life is in, don't go try to pull up some garbage out of your past so that you can relate.
Right. Amen. Absolutely.
You want to tell them about what Jesus has done in the lift and carry low to the corner of your life where He took your sin and carried it all away and give them hope He can do the same for them.
Amen.
Yes.
Here's the danger. Sometimes Christians get with those who are lost and they begin to talk about the things God brought them out of, and then they begin to find out they relate. Will you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know you haven't been to church, Brother Mark, and you haven't been introduced to Jesus and all that, but you know what? We kind of got it going on, don't we, brother? We understand each other. And before you know it, instead of lifting them out of the darkness and showing them the way that Jesus can put His blood on that corner of their life to lift and carry away the load of sin, you start feeling like you've got something in common with that lost person.
Yeah.
And before you know it, now you're starting to fellowship with their works of darkness. And then before you know it, you've fallen away. You're going out with Him instead of Him coming with you. You're following Him instead of Him following you. Church, we got it backwards sometimes. The church world has it backwards sometimes. We bend over backwards trying to reach the lost, and we don't have to do that. All we have to do is lift up the name of Jesus and tell what He has done in our lives. Hallelujah. I don't want to dig up the sin out of my past. It's already gone down that river, and it's covered in the ocean of His blood.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you how I got there. I let Him come to that corner of my life where He lifted the load. He carried the load and put it in the river. And I watched it go away.
Yes.
Hallelujah. How many of you can relate to that?
Yeah.
How many of you can relate to that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. How many, does that give you joy and peace?
Yeah.
Praise God. Oh. Woo, glory to God.
Hallelujah. Woo, the load of sin was more than I could bear. He took it all away. He took it all away. Praise God. You see, grace is what's behind that door. And I need to be made free from that corner of my life that says, you know, I can make my own way. I can carry my own load. I'm going to make it happen. Church, that's pride. You can't make it happen. You can't do it. With the arm of the flesh, that corner of your life, who you think you're self-sufficient, that corner of your life needs to be covered with the blood of Jesus. Are you hearing me? Then we get to that third corner. Hallelujah. That third corner always gets exciting as we get more and more of the blood of Jesus. How many of you know that? It gets so much more exciting as we get into this corner. Hallelujah. That third corner is the Salak blood. It is instant, in season, out of season blood. It's instant blood. It's ready blood. Hallelujah. When I get there, Jesus reminds me, I'm ready to take your battle. I'm ready to take your problem. I am instant and ready to be there when you call upon my name. I'm ready to be there when you have a battle that you're fighting that you can't overcome. I am the name of the Lord, and I am a strong power, and the righteous can run into it and be safe.
Hallelujah.
Are you glad for Jesus' ready blood? Oh, He always is ready to be our advocate, ready to be our mediator. And now we've got somebody in that ready corner. When the blood of Jesus is applied there, He is letting us be reminded that He is ready to fight our battle. Praise God. How many of you are grateful for that corner?
Amen.
Well, let me ask you a question. If He's ready to fight your battle, why do you try to fight it? If He's ready to fight your battle, why do you try to fight it? Now that doesn't mean you don't have to do your part. You do have to do your part. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But praise God, Jesus is ever ready to fight for us. So why do we want to feel like we have to fight alone? How many times do you feel like you're fighting alone? How many times do you feel like you're fighting alone? Church, do you know why? You need some more blood of Jesus on your ready blood corner. Hallelujah. And when He applies that blood on your ready blood corner, hallelujah, the blood of Jesus reminds you, you're not alone. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Ah, lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God, the ready blood of Jesus needs to be applied to that corner of our life, because when we get it applied there, we begin to think differently. It changes the way that we think and respond to others when others do us wrong. Hallelujah. How many of you are willing and ready to lay down your desires? Ready to lay down your ambitions? Ready to lay down all that, you know, it's so hard for young people to do. That's why that verse, Brother Mark, that you read, that is a verse that we need to be understanding. You know why it's hard for young people sometimes? Because they have dreams and ambitions and goals in their life, and it is hard for them to lay this down in that last corner of their life so that the Lord can then take all of their dreams, ambitions, desires, and place back into their life with His blood the things that He has designed and planned for them. You know, that's so hard for young people to do. But that's why that verse said, it is good for a man to serve God in his youth.
Yes.
Why? Because if you can surrender that portion of your life as a young man, a young woman, the rest of your days will be blessed.
Yes.
Are you hearing me, church?
Yeah.
Amen.
I said the rest of your days will be blessed. Why? Because all four corners, glory, of your life will be covered, of your tabernacle, of your temple. Hallelujah. It's going to be covered with the blood of Jesus, sprinkled by our heavenly high priest. Hallelujah. And if you can surrender that portion of your life, He'll take you back around again. Again. And again. And every time He does, we surrender more and more of our will to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are you grateful for that blood this morning?
Amen.
Oh, this final corner. So many people have trouble with this. Because if we feel like our dreams aren't met, if we feel like our hopes aren't met, then it affects our outlook toward others. We look at somebody else and we see everything. Man, it seems like everything they do, man, they touch it, turns to gold. They're Mr. Midas. I mean, they touch it, Brother Johnny, and poof, it happens. They just wish it and bing, there it is. And instead of being joyful for them, we go around saying, "Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why." And we forget the rest of the song. "Cheer up, my brother, I live in the sunshine. And we'll understand it all by and by." Yeah, David. Did you know David, the psalmist? He had this issue. He had to find himself in the corner, hallelujah, of that part of his life. He said, "I looked around and I saw the prosperity of the wicked, and my foot well nigh slipped."
That's right.
He said, "Until I went into the temple of the Lord, and I considered my end." Oh, okay. Sometimes, Lord, these folks, they might not, they're going to get blessed maybe, and somehow through that blessing, they're going to bless people that you want to have blessed. Maybe through all of those blessings, that's the only thing they're going to ever get.
That's right.
That's the only heaven they're going to ever have.
That's right.
Praise God. Consider your end. Has Jesus been to the four corners of your temple and applied His blood to where that you're surrendering your life? All the way to that fourth corner where you're willing to do what? The sparing blood. Sparing blood? Yeah. Why were you spared? Were you spared so that you could live out your dreams, your life, your ambitions, your goals, your hopes? You were spared so that you might bring glory to God.
Yes.
You were spared so that you might be a planting of the Lord, a tree of righteousness. Are you hearing me, church? Oh, hallelujah. Well, that's why we were spared. It shows us the way of the river of blood that leads behind the back of God into the sea of forgiveness and life. In the book of Ezekiel, we read that the millennial reign of Christ, we read about this river that begins to flow out of that temple that will be built in the millennial earth. And as the Bible describes in Ezekiel, this temple, it says, out of the sides of the north. Now, I'm showing you here because the temple is literally built in the form of a cross. All you have to do is go through and read the examples and see how the porches are built and what's where and what's south, what's east, what's north, what's west. It is literally in the shape of a cross. And I can tell you, how many of you know the Bible? Did you know God is always the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yeah. Did you all know I can tell you what side of Adam was ripped a rib out of so he might get him a woman? Well, brother, you can't do that. Why don't you say it? Did you know I can tell you the side that Jesus was pierced on when he was on the cross? How can you do that, brother? Why don't you say it? No, it does tell us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that his principles are always the same. Here's the principle. Are you ready for it? Out of that temple, the Bible says, on the sides of the north. Well, that's the east. If that's east, this has got to be west. If that's west and that's east, this has got to be north. And this has got to be south. He said, just up under the porch, out from the altar, on the side of the north, there began to flow a stream out from under the altar. Woo! On this side, Jesus, on his left side, was pierced. How do you know? Because that's what it said. On the sides of the north. He's not going to have a pattern in the Bible. He's not going to follow through with it. It says it began to flow. And it flowed down until it became, as he measured away from the temple, he said it was deep enough to walk in up to my ankles. A little further, 1,000 furlongs, it was up to my knees. 1,000 more furlongs, it was up to my thighs. 1,000 more furlongs, it was deep enough for me to swim in. And it was the river of life. And everything it touched, it brought forth life.
Where was it flowing? It was flowing into the dead places of the land that had died. And the Bible says everything that that water touched began to spring forth into life. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that the precious Word of God is quick and powerful?
Amen.
How many of you know that the precious blood that covers our four corners on the inside of our temple and tabernacle, there better be dwelling the Word.
Yes.
Are you hearing me? But the Word is desiring to do something in you. Are you aware of this? The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder. Pastor, why is it piercing? Because it wants to join you with the crucified Christ. So that out from you might flow that river of living water. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know why Adam was pierced in his left side in the garden? So he might get a bride. Do you know why Jesus was pierced in his left side on the cross? So he might get a bride. So why was he, through the Word, why is he going to pierce us, Brother Farron? So that we might be joined, be made one, as the bride of Christ with the crucified Christ. Well, why is it dividing us? What is the word dividing us for? Do you know what that word divide means? Separate. You know, that's a word in modern Christianity we don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Separation. You know what separation means? Separate yourself from the world and the God. Be ye separate, be ye holy, for without holiness no man shall see God.
Amen.
Should believers be holy?
Amen.
Yes.
Brother, that's your reasonable service.
Yes.
Reasonable, that's your common entry-level understanding, church.
Entry-level.
Why did he pierce us? So that we might be made one with the crucified Christ. Why does he divide us? So that we might be one with the resurrected Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Church, you can look around and you can see it if you're willing to. The Scriptures. Jesus desires for us and our temple to be covered completely in His blood. You can't walk a victorious life in Christ Jesus without your four corners of your life, of your temple, being covered in the blood of Jesus.
I'm going to close with these verses. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with these verses. Hebrews 4:13. Praise God. How many remember Jesus was pierced for you? So that He might obtain you. So let me ask you, if He was pierced for you, will you be pierced for Him? Will you be pierced for Him? Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open into the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Do y'all see this? Come to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy. Hallelujah. The throne of grace is where you obtain mercy. You get the mercy blood. And then it gives you the key and find grace to help in time of need. Praise God. At the four corners of our sacrifice in the temple of our bodies, Sister Carol, would you come to the piano? I want you to play, O Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. At the four corners of our sacrifice in the temples of our bodies, presenting ourselves a living sacrifice unto Him who was sacrificed for us. Oh, church, recognize this, that you are a temple. Your body will be a temple, either unto the Holy Ghost, unto God, or unto the works of the flesh, unto sin. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? Let's just lift our hands and sing this unto the Lord. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, sing it now.
Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, a pure and holy, oh, time and true. Oh, thank you, Lord. The altars are open if you need to pray. Oh,